Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a light to our path. Father, we just pray this afternoon that what is said will be your words. Lord, just focus me and focus all of us on you, and let us get the message this afternoon that you want to say to us. Amen. Mary had worked 20 years in her job, same place. Some colleagues went and some came. In those 20 years, she never really got a link between herself and her colleagues. There always seemed this some hostility in the relationship. And somehow, although she'd stood and made a faithful witness, her witness had been unfruitful in those 20 years, and she often wondered why. Then one day, suddenly, it happened. In an outburst of anger, because she was falsely accused, she suddenly couldn't stop herself. If she could have taken her words back or her actions back, she would have done. But she just rose to the bait and off she went. Well, her friends were amazed at her outburst. And they knew that she was being falsely accused, and she knew she was being falsely accused, but they wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't stand by her. Well, that evening she went and told a friend. She was totally distressed over the situation, and she was weeping, and she said, well, the only thing I can do is look for another job. I've destroyed my testimony. And a friend said to her very wisely, no, no, no. Don't look for another job. Just go back and apologise. Say those few little words. I was wrong. I am sorry. Well, she took her friend's wise advice and she went back to work and she got her colleagues together and she said, I'm sorry for my outburst. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And they were taken aback that someone would actually come and apologise for an outburst. They were deeply moved, and during the course of the day, one by one, they personally went to see her and they told her how they received her apology, but how it had convicted them of their own failures. You know, sometimes God has to break this earthen vessel so that the light can shine through. We've been singing about, let the light shine. The light has to shine into this nation. And who's it going to shine through? It's going to shine through you and me. God wants his light to shine. But you know, Paul says, this light is in earthen vessels. And it's the earthen vessels that get in the way. But God takes us through situations to get rid of this earthen vessel. He wants to break this earthen vessel. And you know, I'm so glad that Mary didn't try to superglue the bits back together of her earthen vessel. She didn't try to gloss it over and shine it up and make it like it never happened. I didn't do that. She didn't try to justify herself. She allowed that vessel to be smashed and broken. She was devastated, but that was fine. She failed, but that didn't matter. She was able to apologise, and through her failure, God was able to let his light shine. You know, as we get older, when we're young, when we're these folks' age, we think we're invincible, don't we? And we think that we can succeed at everything, and life's full of opportunities, and everything's bright and rosy. And then as we get a bit older, and we go through the school of hard knocks, we realise that life's not quite like that. That we have our ups and that we have our downs, that we have our successes and we have our failures. A Christian friend was sharing with me the other day how she went into the supermarket and she said, this is utterly crazy. I went into the supermarket and I walked down an aisle and there was only me on that aisle. And there were these baskets with food in them. and lovely cute little tins. And she said, I looked around and there were no cameras. And there was only me on the aisle, there was nobody looking at all. And this temptation came over me. Well, why don't you just take one? And she thought, get out of here, what am I doing? But you know, we're never far from the devil. He's always crouching at the door. And he's always there whispering, trying to tell us things. And we have to be so wise, so strong. You know, we think we're strong, but these earthen vessels are very weak. And the older we get, the more we realise the weakness of our humanity. And that's what that earthen vessel is, it's our humanity. And God wants to break that humanity so that his light and the spiritual man can shine through. And we see a few of these in the Bible. And Jacob is a prime example. You know, Jacob was, he deceived Esau and he stole his birthright from him. Now, actually, previously Esau had despised his birthright. It had no value to him, and he'd said to Jacob, for a bowl of soup, you can have my birthright. It didn't mean that much to him. There's a lesson there too, isn't there? We have a tremendous new birthright. Let's not despise it, let's value it, let's treasure it. It's something very precious. Jacob, he knew the value of that birthright and he wanted it. When Jacob and Esau were born, Jacob came out holding, grasping the heel of Esau. He wanted to make it first, but God said no, he was to be second. But he came out grasping. Jacob's nature was one of deceiving, lying, cheating. That was his lifestyle, that was the way he was. And because he deceived Esau, as you all know, he had to escape quickly. When Esau had given him the birthright and it had been discovered what Jacob had done, Jacob had to get out and get out quick. And off he went to Haran, to his mother's relatives. And there he spent 20 years with his uncle Laban. And oh dear, he met his match. Laban was a bigger deceiver and a bigger liar and a bigger cheater than Jacob. And those 20 years, God used that experience to drive out of Jacob, to expose the nature that he so hated and that had been so destructive in his life. And when we get to Genesis chapter 32, we're at the point where God had told Jacob it was time to go back home. By this time, Jacob was married. He had two wives and many children. And God had said to him, your time here is finished. It's time to move on, and it's time to go back to where you came from, to your father's house. It's time to meet Esau. Uh-oh. Jacob was terrified. He did not want to meet Esau. And so this is where we find him in Genesis chapter 32. And we're reading from verses 22 to 32. And Jacob rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. You know, sometimes God wants us alone, that he might deal with us. Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince you have power with God and with men, and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Jacob is the only man who's wrestled with God. And he wrestled with him until the day broke. God asked him, Jacob, what his name was. In verse 27, he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." When Jacob gave his name, he was saying, "I'm Jacob, I'm the liar, I'm the deceiver, I'm the cheat." And God said to him, "No more." When he owned up and became accountable for who he was, God changed his name. But God had to break his earthen vessel, and he put his hip out of joint. And Jacob, by that, it was a constant reminder to him of that encounter with God, when God took the old man and he broke that earthen vessel, that the light might shine through, that the glory of God might be fulfilled and the promises might be fulfilled to Jacob. That was at Peniel where that took place. Jacob's natural strength had to be broken at Peniel so that God could clothe him with spiritual power and fulfil the promise to him. Our God is so faithful. It's painful sometimes to let him break this earthen vessel, but break it he will, because he sees the bigger picture. He wants the earthen vessel destroyed that the spirit man might shine through. In Judges chapter 7, verses 19 to 22. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood around, every man in his place, round the camp. And all the host ran and cried. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his enemy, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zereph, and to the border of Abimeloah, to Tabath. Gideon had 300 soldiers, and there's a beautiful picture. They had the lights, the torches hidden in an earthen vessel. And Gideon said to them, "When I give you the signal, you're to smash the pitcher and you're to blow your trumpet." And by those two simple things, they routed the enemy and took a total victory for God. The natural had to be broken to reveal the spiritual. Mary. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're reading from verses 3 to 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and they said, "Why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do to good to them. But me you don't have with you always. She's done what she could. She came beforehand to anoint my body for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this shall be done and spoken of her as a memorial. Mary. Mary was a prostitute. Mary, Jesus had cast 7 devils out of Mary. She had been in a prior to meeting Jesus, quite a wicked woman. But you know, those who are forgiven much, love much. And she loved her Lord. She loved him dearly. The alabaster box of expensive oil was something, it was a flask, and it was given to the women as part of their wedding dowry. When they came of age, the women were given it, and they kept it as part of their wedding dowry. You know, isn't that a beautiful picture? She said to Jesus, I'm not looking for any more human relationships. She'd found her all-consuming love. She broke that picture over his head. He was the one, the only one, that she ever wanted. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 24 to 26. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? When Jesus' body was broken on the cross, it was broken by the thorns, it was broken by the nails, it was broken by the spear in his side. The natural body had to be broken, so that in the spirit realm, redemption could pour forth like a crystal stream. For you and for me, giving us life, he had to have his body broken, that life, spiritual life, might flow. John chapter 4. A wrong scripture. I'm looking for, and it's the scripture where Jesus broke the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fish. The food multiplied and they became sufficient to feed 5,000 men. Note that, 5,000 men plus women and children. What a tremendous miracle that was. But something natural had to be broken, so that Jesus could take those broken pieces and multiply them and feed 5,000. God wants to take the natural and break it so that the spiritual might shine through. We'll all naturally shrink back from being broken. But let me tell you this, your breaking is God's way to fruitfulness. God's ways are always opposite to man's ways. We always think that when God breaks us, that that's the end. That lady, Mary, she thought, I've blown it, my testimony's gone. Far from it. Far from it. It was the end of the natural, and it was the beginning of the spiritual. It was the breaking point that had to be. You know, there's many do-gooders in the world today that have Christian characteristics. You can find a lot of charities that do good and give to people in need and give to the poor. You can find a lot of people in the world that have a lot of wisdom, some more than Christian folks. You can find people who are very sincere about what they do, some sincerely wanting to make, and there's some people very zealous in what they do. They're zealous to make money, passionate about money. They're all passionate about the wrong things there, but you can't deny their zeal and their passion. But you know, God wants to shine out of us. We've sung this afternoon, shine Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. God wants to shine out of us, and he does it through brokenness. But what he's trying to achieve in us through brokenness is at work to destroy the confidence that we have in ourselves and replace it with confidence in God. He's our total source. He's the one that we need to be relying on. And the greatest example Ken has already quoted this afternoon is Paul. Paul, of all men, could boast. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew how to keep the law. He could keep it faultlessly. He was a very clever man. He was an achiever. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was an extremely clever man. He was well versed in the law. He knew it inside out. You couldn't pull the wool over Paul's eyes. He was strong in himself, but God had to break that earthen vessel that the light of God might shine through. And I wonder, when Ken talked about his thorn in the flesh, as Jacob came out with a limp in his thigh, Jacob was a strong man. God had to break him. Perhaps he had to break Paul in the same way, that there was always a constant reminder that he could never walk in his own confidence. Self-confidence wasn't what God wanted from him. He wanted confidence in God. And so, Paul said, didn't he? He said, after all the stuff he went through and the breaking that he had and that God took him through, at the end of it he said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. He said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, in him we live and move and have our being. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 3 at the end of it, and put no confidence in the flesh. Hey, don't ever think you're smart. Don't ever think that you can't be tempted. Don't ever think that you can't fall. Don't ever think you've got it all sewn up and made. Let me tell you, you never have. God wants this earthen vessel smashed. He wants his glory to shine through. His grace is sufficient for Paul, and his grace is sufficient for us. No matter what we've done, where we've been, what happens in our lives, what experiences we go through, God is in control of it all. And he has orchestrated it all, and he has a purpose in it all, and he works it all together for good. He says, trust me. What seems like the end to you is just the beginning. What seems disastrous is not. I'm a master at turning failure into success. You know what the world calls failure? God doesn't measure failure and success. He takes you through experiences, and all he wants to know when you come out the other side is not did I fail or did I succeed, but did this bring me closer to God? Did it make me rely more on God? Did it chop away at this self-confidence, and did it strengthen my God-confidence? That's all he wants to know. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 5 through to 11. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he broke that dark earthen vessel that the light might shine through, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. First the natural, then the spiritual. First we come out very, very self-confident, but then God-confident. God wants the spiritual to rise. You know, the natural man has to be broken so that the spirit man can be revealed. And let me tell you, the good news, none of us is exempt. We can none of us accuse another. We can none of us point a finger. Because, you know, so often what does Paul say about taking heed lest you fall? You know, you think you're strong and stand strong, you take heed lest you fall. We're all vulnerable. This humanity is very frail and very vulnerable. That's why God wants this earthen vessel broken, because the spirit man is far stronger. We are invincible in the spirit realm. We can achieve all that God wants us to achieve. But it's got to be the spirit man that achieves it. The natural man cannot. We're limited and always will be until we let God break the earthen vessel. Once he's broken it, and sometimes we patch it up, we get the super glue and we put it back together again and we stick it on, and God says, right, we'll go around this mountain again and we'll smash it again. Or as some of them, as we say in Teen Challenge, they're off in the jungle again until God gets them round again and he smashes that earthen vessel. Don't try and restore it, let him smash it, that that spirit man might shine through and bring glory and do the things that God has promised. God has probably given you promises, he's given me promises, but they can never be fulfilled in the natural. It's a spiritual thing. And I want my earthen vessel smashed, because I want the light and the spirit man to shine through, that though I might receive in the fullness, all the fullness, the promises that God has got for me. A bright hope, a bright future. Praise God. Amen.